I want to thank also everyone for even handing out the wee invitations for us to this testimony meeting tonight. And we trust and pray the Lord will even speak through those. And we are indeed glad to have now our brother, Reverend David McLaughlin, to come and share with us what the Lord has graciously done for him. Okay, brother, we'll miss you.
Could I just thank your minister, the Reverend Brown, for the very kind invitation to come here tonight and share a word of personal testimony. It's probably about 35 years since I was last in Larne. That's a long time. I was here having a mission conducted through the Faith Mission at that particular time. And I stayed with dear folks in Millbrook. And if there's folks here from Millbrook, please make yourself known and we'll have a wee chat around the cup of tea. I want to read some verses to you from Psalm 66. We'll read from the verse 13. Psalm 66, verse 13. The psalmist said, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious and infallible word. Let's have a wee word of prayer together tonight. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence. We bless thee for the old hymns of Zion that we've been singing. And we rejoice tonight that we're able to lift up and magnify the precious name and dear person and work of our great Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for him. We say to our soul, praise ye the Lord. And we bless thee that we can say with the hymn writer, for all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. We just ask thee that you'll undertake even now, cleanse me in the blood, quicken me by thy spirit. And Lord, as this testimony is spoken forth and goes out tonight, not only within the confines of this meeting house, but, O God, into the ears of others on the airwaves or those in the car park, use thy word, make it a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And we pray that precious sinners will be born again of the Holy Spirit and savingly joined to Christ. Those that are cold and backslidden be restored. And Lord, your struggling saints might be helped and strengthened even at this particular time. Lord, hear and answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I am thankful tonight that I have a testimony to the saving and keeping power of Jesus Christ. And I want to make it clear when I become a Christian. I was born again of the Holy Spirit at the age of 18. Why did I become a Christian? Here's the simple answer. I came under conviction of sin and was convinced that I was a hell-deserving sinner, bound for the pit. And having come under that conviction, then cried out unto the Lord by way of a prayer, and it was this, Lord, save me, I perish. And what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, it means many things, but at the heart of what it means to be a real, true Christian is this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away and all things have become new. Now, I've been asked to come to Larne tonight and share a word of personal testimony, and that's what I want you to do. I want you to think of when, I want you to think of why. You will think at the moment about the way and what it actually means. See, quite a number of years ago, I got a phone call from the late Dr. Paisley, very, very early in the morning. This is maybe about 20 past six or maybe half past six. And he was quoting this verse of scripture to me from Psalm 66 in the verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what I've done for my soul. And I remember writing down in my Bible, I have it here, and Dr. Paisley emphasized there's a word that invites, and there's a word that exhorts, and there's a word that limits, and a word that declares, and a word that transforms. And I remember writing it down, and I thought this was a marvelous little text. It was like honey from the rock for me to carry with me throughout the day and to share with others. Well, I have taken that outline, and I have expanded it a little bit for tonight. I want you to think, if you look at the text, come. Now we'll pause there. There's a word of invitation. You see, there's children here, and the first time they heard that word was when they were a baby, just with wobbly legs, maybe taking their first step, and it was with outstretched arms the voice said, come to mummy, or maybe come to daddy. A teenager's heard those words, come, and maybe after an argument have went out and slammed the door, and they have heard, come you back here. Or maybe a teenager's been phoning home from university and something has happened and they're sad and lonely and they're dejected and dispirited and they speak to mummy or daddy and they hear the words, come home. You see, the first time that the word come is used in the Bible is a word of invitation. Let me give you that. It's Genesis 7 and 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And the last reference is the reference in Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And of course, in the middle of the Bible, and the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, you read, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, it's a word of invitation. And I heard that word, come, as a word of invitation in a spiritual sense. It used to be, come to the meeting. There's a man in the faith mission called Willie Porter, and that's what he used to say, come to the meeting. And he was glad to see people coming to the various services that were organized under the ranks of the faith mission. And can I just suggest tonight, that's the way to treat your unsaved family members, friends, neighbors, even strangers. Come to the meeting. In other words, invite them in on a Sunday morning. Invite them in on a Sunday night to a special service. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Invite them. Bring them along. And that way we'll see the Spirit work, because the Spirit of God works through the Word. See, let me tell you my own experience. I told you when I got saved as a young man of 18 years of age, just over 40 years ago now. There was a man at work. His name was Andy Alexander. And he gave me that invitation one Friday night, come to the meeting. Now, let me tell you a wee bit about my family background. I was born in Macrofield, so that in connection with the Reverend William McRae. I can't sing, but at least I have that connection. I was born in Macrofield. And then as a child, I moved to Belfast. My mother died when I was five and found her dead in bed as a child. And later my father died and I was really orphaned along with my sister and brother and thankfully an aunt outside Coleraine in a little village called Drumadraw took me in and brought me up. Now, that aunt sent me along to church and Sunday school every Sunday. Now, notice what I just said, sent. Because there's a difference between being taken and being sent. And I used to have to walk 3 miles from Drumadraw to a little place called Ballarashane. If you in the shops, ladies, and you see Ballarashane butter, then the church was not that far from that particular creamery. But it was 3 miles from my home, and I had to walk there on a Sunday and walk back again. And I was 13 years of age. And I remember saying to my aunt, I'm not going back. They're a bunch of hypocrites. You see, the people in the church, they sang lovely. And they dressed nicely, and some of them even knelt down when they come in and said a little prayer. But these were the very same people that would have kicked and would have swore at us for kicking the football into their garden, especially around the 12th of July if it broke an orange lily or broke a bit of Sweet William. These were the very same people that we seen staggering up home drunk from the pub on a Saturday night. They were the very same people who were having intermarital affairs one with another. Now, they weren't all guilty of hypocrisy, but the vast majority of them were. And yet on Sunday, they were in church and they're singing God's praise and they're mentioning the name of Christ as if butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. And I remember saying to my aunt at 13, they're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going back near them. And of course, it caused a big row, and I got a few thumps and a few beatings, but I was very determined, and I didn't go back. Now, I have to confess something to you. At a very, very early age, I had a taste for alcohol, and I got my first drink from my uncle as a very, very small child. And it was a glass of a thing called Trinidadian rum, and he poured it into a glass, and he said, "Down the hatch," and you had to sort of drink it down fast. Well, by the age of 18, I was almost an alcoholic. And I'm sorry to tell you, but I can remember waking up in the horrors of drink and seeing animals coming out of the wall that terrified me at night. And the men at work knew the state that I was in, and there were some concerned. And this man, Andy Alexander, was concerned. And concerned enough that he wanted to get me out under the sound of the gospel, because he knew that Christ was the answer. At this time, I was getting a grip. I was just, as I said, lived for the weekend. Wine and women and song was my mindset and motto. You'd always found me in Kelly's. Sometimes I couldn't remember even what I'd done the night before, because I woke up on a park bench. It could have been in Port Stewart, it could have been in Port Rush, it could have been on the sandhills. Often got me into trouble. We broke people's lights and we stole their milk from their doors, and we did all sorts of rascals. See, the devil was in control. Sin was running riot in David's life. But as I told you there, I came to Christ at the age of 18. On a Friday night, let me tell you what happened. I'm a joiner by trade, or was training to be a joiner. And this man, Alexander, he was the foreman of the yard. So if you wanted anything out of the store, you had to go to him. And I was hanging a front door in James Street in Coleraine. It was a big mahogany door. It had got maybe, I think, about 12 wee square panes of glass. And I was trying to hammer them in, the wee slips in, very gently without breaking any. And it was coming near 4 o'clock. And I wanted the money from pinging this door. And I wanted to go off then and go to Kelly's. And he broke the last pane. And I couldn't leave it like that. So I run down. It wasn't that far from where we worked in LMA Construction. Andy was there. And I said to him, "Andy, I've got a bit of a bother here. Would you sell me a pane of glass?" I think it was about £2.50 for a wee pane. And this was no. "Oh, go on, Andy. Like, it's not quitting time yet. You'll sell me the..." No. "Andy, look, I'm stuck. This glass is broken. I can't leave this like this. And somebody would break into this house." And he says, "I'll tell you what. If you come to a meeting with me, I'll give you the pane of glass." "Oh, you're not going to charge me?" "No, I'll give you the pane of glass. I'll cut it now. I'll give you the pane of glass. If you promise, you'll come to the meeting." So I set off with Andy. It was a Friday night. I remember it well. His car had a green suit on, a pair of cowboy boots, long hair with a ponytail. And I set off in the front of Andy's car to go to this meeting. You see, there's a word that invites. But I want you to think of something else here. If you look at our text, "Come and hear." You see, here's a word of exhortation. Not only is there a word of invitation, "come," but there's a word of exhortation, "come and hear." You see, what a privilege it is tonight to hear the word of God in the gospel. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what a privilege it is to have the word of God read and the word of God preached upon. And of course, I believe that that's the greatest privilege in the world. And if you young people are here, if there's any boys or girls listening to me, and mummy and daddy brings you to church to hear the word of God read and preached, you thank God for that. Don't despise it. Don't treat it lightly. You really rejoice in such a privilege. Why? Because the day has come when there's a famine in Ulster. And it's a famine of hearing the word of God. And the vast majority of our unionist, Protestant, loyalist, even Roman Catholic population, they have no appetite, they're here for hearing the word of God. And people are wondering, what is wrong with society? Well, here's part of the root cause of what is wrong with society. People have no appetite now for the things of God or for the word of God. At least there are very few. There's a tiny remnant. And I believe we're living in a day of spiritual famine, of hearing the word of God. There's a word of exhortation coming here. And you see, Andy Alexander invited me come to the meeting because he wanted me to hear the word of God preached. And he believed in his heart that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he had a burden and said, Lord, this young man's 18 and he's not saved and he's going to hell. And look at his life, it's a mess, Lord. And he needs Christ. And I've got to get him out to the meeting. That was his determination. I want to tell you something else. There's a word of limitation here. Look at the text. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. You see, as a young man of 18, I didn't fear God. And how many young men and young women growing up in Northern Ireland do not fear God? They have no thought or regard for the things of God. And they're being used of the devil. They're living in their sin and they're quite happy in that. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9 and 10. But I didn't. What does the fear of God mean? Let me explain it this way. I want you to think of Johnny. And Johnny is at school. And you get out of school at 3 o'clock or half 3. 3 o'clock is it out on Friday. And you know the excitement, boys and girls, of getting out of school at 3 o'clock on a Friday. I used to be always very excited and was delighted. I hated school. I say that to my shame now. But as a young boy, I had no time for school or for learning. But anyway, think of wee Johnny coming skipping out through the gate. And as he's about to turn the corner to go to get the bus, he sees the school bully. And he stops in his track. And a sense of dread comes over him. If I go towards that bully, he'll beat me up. He'll take my school bag. He'll empty it out. He'll take my money off me. He might take my bus pass. I'll go home all ruffled up. I'll go home. And there's a sense of dread. You get the picture. Now take the other picture. Think of Johnny. He's in the class. And the teacher says, now we're all going on a trip. We'll say we're going to a trip to London. And we're going to be entertained by King Charles in Buckingham Palace. And we're going to have tea with the king. And one boy's going to be picked out to have tea with the king. You think of Johnny being picked out of the line. And Johnny's sitting there and his legs is hardly able to touch the ground and he's having tea with King Charles and they're having a little chat in Buckingham Palace. Now that's a different type of fear. It's not a sense of dread. It's a sense of awe, of being in the presence of somebody of royal blood, in the presence of a king. And Johnny would be full of excitement and couldn't wait to get on the phone to Granny. Granny, you'll never guess, I met the king! And he'd remember that all his life. Well, that's the sense. You see, the Bible tells us there in the book of Isaiah, listen to these words in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Do you see the two words? The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And there should be a sense of dread of coming before the Lord. A sense that this great and terrible God, and I'm ushered into his holy presence, and that should cause me to tremble. And did he not say to this man, well, I look to him that is poor and of contrite in spirit, and who trembleth at my word? And where's the sense of awe? The sense of wonder? You think of the holiness of God, if we change the thought. The seraphims and cherubims crying out tonight, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come. You see, if there's another thing that's missing in Ulster tonight, and it's this, the fear of God. And even in our own Free Presbyterian churches, we have lost a sense of dread of coming before God and the sense of awe of being ushered into his presence. The two go together. What about you? The Bible asked, one day and thief said to the other, "Dost thou not fear God?" Your life tonight's in his hands. You tonight have an immortal, precious soul inside that body that will live throughout the countless ages of eternity. As long as God lives, and that'll be forever. Endless life for your immortal soul. You'll give an account one day to God. You'll stand before him. And wouldn't it be a dreadful thing if people from Larne Free Church stood before the Lord and he called your name and the books were opened and here it is, and there's no record of your conversion? There's no record of you being savingly joined to Christ. You profess him, but he doesn't know you. And he says, "Depart, I don't know you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, if we measure our life by his absolute standard, we fall short, because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what? There's not one of us good enough to go to heaven. And you know what? We're all bad enough to end up in this awful place called hell. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know?" And there's a great need to recognize you're a sinner. A great need to recognize that you need to repent of your sin and turn to God. And a great need to recognize I must receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because all that's bound up in the knowledge of the fear of God. And as a young man traveling in that car that night, as a young man coming into that meeting, I didn't have that fear of God. Notice also here, there's a word of declaration, "and I will declare what I've done for my soul." We were traveling that night in the car from Coleraine to Limavady, which is probably about 14 or 17 miles. It was a tent mission. The preacher was the Reverend Sam Workman, the late Reverend Sam Workman, and the singing was fantastic. I never heard singing like it. And all of these ladies, I remember, I was at the very back, and they had, all I could see was this big sea of hats and big feathers sticking up. Wow, they must have cost a lot of money, I thought. You know, I'm a young fella, you see, and I'm noticing this, and I'm thinking this here. Now, Sam Workman got up to preach, and here was his text, John 10 and 10. "I'm come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly." And he said a very strange thing. He said, "There's maybe a young man or a young woman in this meeting tonight, and you're looking for life." And he said, "You're trying to find it in the dance floor. You're down at Kelly's. You're trying to find it through the consumption of alcohol, and you're getting blocked out of your mind at the weekend, and you're maybe lying on a park bench somewhere, and you wake up and you haven't a clue. Your head's buzzing with Monday's wine." And he said, "You're trying to find it in sexual fulfillment. You're trying to find it through experimentation with drugs." And he mentioned wacky backy. And he says, "And deep down inside, you're not satisfied. You're lying in your bed at night. You're wondering what's life all about." And he said, "Maybe you're even going through the horrors of drink. You see animals and things coming out the walls at you and you're scared." He said, "That's not living. That's an existence. Come with me, young man. Come on," he says. "I want to introduce you to the giver of life." Well, I can tell you, I sat up, I began to listen, and I could honestly say that was the first time I heard the gospel. John 3 and 16, he emphasized it, "For God so loved the world." And he said, "Take the word world out then, young person, and put in your own name." And I put it in my head. "For God so loved David McLaughlin that he gave his only begotten son, that if David McLaughlin believes in him, David McLaughlin should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I heard the greatest love story. God the Son, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life, died an atoning death. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he said the answer wasn't in the church, it was in Christ. "Come to Christ," he said. I went home with that message in my ears. Now, I'd agreed with Andy Alexander that he would leave me off at down at Kelly's. So we come to where we would turn off a railway street in Coleraine, branching off for Port Stewart or Port Rush, if you know the area. And he said to me, we never uttered a word. He never uttered a word, and I never uttered a word the whole journey home. And he said to me, he called me the wee man, "Where are we going?" And I says, take me home. Now, at this time, I didn't tell you this, I was actually living in a Roman Catholic lodging house in James's Street in Coleraine. That's how I got the little job for the door. It was a neighbour. And anyway, that was a Friday night, and on the Saturday, we had agreed with another fella that we run about with, a fellow White. I think he's now dead. But we had agreed to go to Londonderry to buy some drugs. But God's hand was on me that day because I couldn't go. Because all I was thinking about when I got up in the morning, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible. Jesus loves me. Why me? And I began to think of all the bad things that I'd done. And my cursing I started to list the sins in my head. And I felt so guilty. I felt ashamed. I felt it was so bad. I felt it was so unworthy. Cut a long story short, I got up on the Sunday morning after 5 years, and I went to St. Patrick's Church in Coleraine, never been in the church before, sat down in a pew at the back, and a woman came in with a few children, and she said to me, what are you sitting there for? That's our pew. We pay money for that. Why are you in our pew? And boys, I was really shocked, because I didn't know you paid money for a pew. And I got up and went out, and I stayed outside until the service was over, and then I went back in again when all the congregation left, and I spoke to the rector. Now, this is a minister ordained to the gospel, St. Patrick's in Coleraine. I'm going back, nearly 40 years ago, just over 40 years ago, 41 coming. And I spoke to him, and I said to him, Your Reverence, sir, I would like to get saved. Could you tell me what I have to do? And I remember him looking at me. He was taking his robes off, and he said, Young man, I'm sorry. There's not much I can do for you. And boys, I was gutted. I was confused. I thought, well, if I could get the hold of that Sam Workman man, he would be able to tell me. But here's another man, and he's ordained, he's got a collar on, but he can't tell me what this other man told me. I walked about the streets of Coleraine in a really strange way, and I remember that Sunday night, about 10 o'clock, I was walking up and down the street, just endless, and I'd done that for a good part of the day. I felt I was sinking into hell. And a real fear had come upon me that I was going to hell. And I remember in the providence of God meeting a man that probably none of you really would know here, a man called Jackson McVicar. And Jackson McVicar and me used to work in the same workshop. And he'd left a couple of years before I was still working there. And I met him in the street, and we started to have a wee chat. And I said to him, well, how are you? You know what it's like. You meet somebody from Northern Ireland. What about you? And where have you been? And he says, oh, I've been to Bible college. Well, I said to him, well, Bible college, what are you doing there? He said, studying the Bible. What for? And he says, well, did you not know that I become a Christian a few years ago? A Christian? What's that? I've asked Jesus into my heart. I said, that's what I want to do. How do you do that? And he was really shocked. Now, he gave me a little tract after talking to me for a long time. I said, you're not making any sense. But he gave me a little tract. He said, you take this tract up home, get down on your knees, spread it in the bed, read the tract. And then he says, you pray this prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You ask Jesus to save you. And that's exactly what I did. The little tract had God and man together in union and communion. The next little drawing had God and man separated with the word sin, bridging a gulf. Then it had the next little drawing, God and man separated, but man trying to reach out to God with his almsgiving, his prayers, his churchiosity, his religiosity, his respectability, but all falling short. I could understand it. And then the bridge was gapped with this, the outline of a cross in red with the words, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And the moment I saw it, it was as if somebody had put the light on. And the light was this. That Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. And that very night, at the age of 18, I was down on my knees and I cried out, God, I want to be saved. Forgive my sin, Lord. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name you to come into my life and to save me. Now I got into bed and I went to sleep. Let me just tell you this, because if you look at the text, it says, there's a word of transformation here. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. The word soul can be translated life, The life of God was now in my soul, and I was being changed and transformed. You see, I got up the next morning, and I was a couple of things happened. I smoked, if some of you older men might know, a thing called Park Drive, and I had 10 of them sitting at the side of the bed, and it was usually the first thing he did when I woke up in the morning. All of a sudden, I took the 10 Park Drive, there might have been 6 or 8 in the packet, and I crumpled them up and put them in the bin. And the first thought was, I've got Christ, I don't need the cigarettes. I was so early for work that I went to the neighbour's house the next day, that morning. It was maybe about 7:30, and I knocked on his door. I knew he was a religious man. I seen him going to church every Sunday with his Bible. Don't know what church he went to. And he come to the door in the dressing gown. He said, can you help me? He asked me, can I help you? And I said, yes, I would like to have a Bible. Have you got a Bible that you could loan me? I would like to start reading the Bible. And he said to me, hold on, young man. He got me a Christian Workers edition of the New Testament with was outlined in red. And he handed it to me and he says, tell me this, young man, when are you going to get saved? And I said, what is that? And he says, that's asking Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your Savior. I says, I did that last night at about 10 o'clock or 10:30. And here he is, glory to God, hallelujah. And he shouts, he's got saved, shouts up to his wife. She was still in bed. Do you know what happened? 6 months before, we had a fight outside James's Street. And I was lying, I didn't even know, on the road at 4 o'clock in the morning with a big bottle of wine. And he was looking out the window. And he said to his wife, I'm going out to pull that critter in because a car will run over him lying out there. And his wife says, no, don't he. He might fight you. He might beat you up. He says, just get down your knees and pray and ask God to save him. And I says, well, God has answered your prayer. I went down to work. I worked in LMA Construction, as I said, in the joiner. There was 20 men in the workshop. I was an apprentice. And I stood up in a workshop, workbench, and I called all the men around me at 7:50. I was there very early. And I said to the men, I have something to tell you. Maybe thought I'd won the lottery. And I says, I have asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And there's no more drink for David, no more cursing, no more Kellys, no more filthy magazines. Now, I'm just telling you this because I feel the urge that I want to tell you I've got saved and I've asked Christ. Nobody told me I had to do that. I just felt that urge. Do you know what? Now, this is Loyalist Coleraine. Everyone from a Protestant background. And they laughed and mocked. Some of them put bets on, we'll have him back in the pub in a week. And as I've testified tonight, that was just over 40 years ago. And you see, the Lord took the desire for drink. He cleaned up my filthy tongue. He took away the desire for cigarettes. And he changed and transformed David's life. And David started going to the prayer meeting. David started reading the Bible. David started studying the scriptures. He started witnessing in Coleraine. He stood in the open air and he gave out tracts. You know the strange thing? All the people that were mates of David's that I went to school with, that I thought were my pals, best pals, they all ignored me, turned away from me, didn't want to know me. Don't go near him because he'll start preaching at you. And yet the Lord brought me in into the community of the church. For a time I was in the Congregational Church in Coleraine. Many happy months of fellowship there. And then I met Rosie and Tandragee. And I joined the Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church then. And that brought me into the ranks of the Free Presbyterian Church. And Rosie and I are married now with 4 children. And many years ago, the Lord called me into full-time service, and I studied in the Whitfield College of the Bible. I was the assistant minister or ministerial assistant to Dr. John Douglas for 4 or 5 years, and I really enjoyed that. And I did a little stint in Donaghadee, and now I've been 23 years in Carrie Duff Free Presbyterian Church. And I just want to say this as I finish. I would heartily, gladly recommend Christ to you tonight. He's a Savior who saves, he's a Savior who keeps, and he's a Savior who loves. Having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And if you go out of this meeting tonight, I want you to think of this. Jesus can save me tonight. And Jesus can keep me. And Jesus loves me. Will you remember that tonight? Thank you for listening. Thank you for being so patient. I have many other stories that I could tell you, but I'm not. Maybe sometime if I ever come back, I'll add something else to this. But this is a word about salvation, how David come to personal faith in Christ. Will you heed the word that invites, come? A word of exhortation, come and hear. Hear the word of God. Listen to Christ. A word that limits because it's to do with the fear of God. But a word that declares and transforms. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he's done for my soul. Thank you tonight for listening. We'll hand back to the Reverend Brown. Thank you.